Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And
I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan. So
yeah.
Let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When he looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us, cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
Right, all right, all right. We rise with the sun. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Wednesday. Wednesday, December the 21st. Man, I can't believe this month is already gone. December the 21st of 2016, and the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, my brothers. As always, my sisters, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to talk about the psychology of the self. We want to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify the standing of this representation that you are energetically projecting out to the world. What is it that you identify as the subject of your experience? When we look at the self, it's one of the most important topics that's never discussed. When we talk about the psychology of the self, we are talking about recognizing the cultural and the social personality that is continually projected or continually projected onto this landscape that we call life. So to understand the ontological makeup of this self-knowledge or this self-awareness or this self-enhancement or this self-esteem, this self-regulatory, this self-perpetuating, this self-sustaining, this self-deception, So since we have deceived ourselves, our self-awareness now is flawed. And so without the understanding of the true self, the concept or the construct of the self as the knower has been convoluted. So now we have to transcend this negative or this self-delusion. Meaning you got to be authentic. Meaning you got to live in the now. Meaning you must under, over, and understand it. You must manifest the knowledge of your true self. Now this self-functioning social and cultural person, these are the characteristics, or there are characteristics that allows you to operate in this thing called self-knowledge or self-gnosis. So you have to set up a feedback system in order to monitor the progression or yourself. You have to be self-regulating. Now, do you have a self-regulatory system? Everybody listening to this show today should have something that nobody else knows about but you. It is your own way of gauging or managing yourself. So this self-regulation is the ability to monitor and control your own behavior, your own emotions, your own thoughts, and to alter them in accordance with the situation. Now, brothers, sisters, what I just said was very profound. Not because I said it, but because, again, it's something that you need to hear. Because many of us don't have this self-regulatory system that allows us to live in a real environment or the real world. So it is my prayer, my brothers, it is my prayer, my sisters, that you under, over, and understand the depth of the deception. So self-deception is the thing that prohibits you from understanding the psychology and the sociology of yourself. And since this self-deception exists, we have to deal with this self-deception. Now, it's cool. It's not really cool, but it's okay to lie to other people. But when you start lying to yourself, and self-delusion and self-deception is when you start believing the lies that you tell other people, you start telling them same lies to yourself. Now, self-deception is the act, or the practice, or the action, if you will, of allowing yourself to believe that these feelings, these ideals, these situations that are false are true. Now, so you've been acting and you've been feeling something for so long that now you start to believe that this acting, that this feeling, this jovial person that you project into everybody else, and you go home and you know you ain't jovial, because them bills are whooping your ear, or the relationship is whooping your ear, or the ignorance is blinding, you're wealthy, you're acting like you're healthy, you're acting like you're wise. Now, this act is great. It's great to act as if, because that is the definition of optimism. That is the definition of faith. But the problem exists when the act has no action. As long as your act is followed up by action, we're good. But when your acting is not followed up by no action, you are in deep kimchi. Trust me, I'm not reading about something I read of a book. Because the problem is, brothers and sisters, that the inability to understand the difference between the act that you project out on the landscape and the real life. Because if you are acting wealthy but you are not, but if you are acting healthy but you are not, and you are acting wise but you are not, because you are believing God and you're standing in faith, and so you're acting as if, but you haven't developed a self-regulatory system. Now, the self-regulatory system is the ability to lie to other people but don't lie to yourself. When you come home at night, you realize, oh, man, I got work to do. Now, you wear nice clothes, you drive nice cars, you act like you got money in the bank, and you're in debt. That's cool, as long as you got something, you got a plan. So, again, faith without a plan is fiction. Let me make sure you understand, brothers and sisters, because this is the problem, that this is the dream world I lived in. And if you live in that same dream world that I used to live in, you're going to get the same dream reality. It's great to have to be metaphysical and hang out with God and have your head in the clouds, but you better make damn sure your feet is on the ground. Because what happens is when that reality busts you upside the head, it's gonna be a long fall, and then nobody gonna be there to catch you. And so you have to have a self-regulatory system. You have to be able to self-regulate. If you lie to somebody, if you are operating in faith, and if you don't have self-knowledge, if you don't have self-awareness, if you don't have self-esteem, if you don't have self-enhancement, if you don't, again, have the ability to be authentic and to be real, you should have a plan and action. You should have a purpose. You should have a process. You should have a procedure. You should have something that leads you in the direction of developing a product or a service that's going to allow you to function and live in the real world. That means that you have to understand yourself, the psychology of the self, not anybody else. So you spend so much time watching the Dallas Cowboys, you know everybody on the team, and you don't even know your own self. You spend so much time watching, you know, Loving Hip Hop or Empire or whatever, the latest and greatest. That's great. Don't get me wrong. I watch that stuff too. But after I spend 8 hours studying myself, I may spend an hour relaxing and kicking back, doing something else. So self-regulatory skills are meant to regulate your emotions. And so the ability, again, to monitor and to control. See, people are out of control. They are emotionally bankrupt. They have no self-regulation. There's no self-control. And so self-deception is this denial. It's you totally rationalize the events that happen into your life as being irrelevant, insignificant, or being of no importance. So you don't have no money, but you rationalize it and you say, hey, it's the white man's fault. You don't understand what it's like to be a black man. So the white man is holding me down. So you rationalize your lack of effort to go out and get a job. No, you rationalize and you say that, you know, hey, I'm too cool to work at McDonald's, man. You don't understand, homie. I can't work at no fast food restaurant. So you rationalize and you don't have no wealth. But you rationalize this. Because, again, you don't have a self-regulatory or self-regulating system, so you're in deception. And then you're 300 pounds, but you rationalize it, and you say that, hey, you know, that there's no healthy food. Or you tell yourself that, it's too expensive to eat healthy. Or you say, Brother Will, you understand, I live in a bad part of town. Well, they don't sell good food in my neighborhood. So, you know what, I got to eat, you know, Popeye's chicken every night. Because, again, there's nothing healthy in the hood. And you say, well, Brother Will, you understand, man, there's no good books, there's no good teachers out there, there's no way. So, again, yeah, I know that maybe I suffer from, you know, a lack of knowledge, or maybe I'm oscillating and vibrating from a place of lack or want. So we rationalize our delusion. Now, this is dangerous because when you are delusional, how do you know you're delusional? I mean, think now for a moment. Now, self-delusion, again, this self-deception means that you are misleading yourself. So how do you know you're delusional when you're delusional? Now, as a spiritual therapeutic specialist, I understand psychotherapy. And one thing about psychotherapy that when you sit down and you listen to people, that is very important, because if you look at the American Psychiatric Association, and they look at the different types and they classify the different types of delusion. Now, a psychotic episode is different from having or being psychotic. We all suffer from psychotic episodes. That means that we have an irrational conviction about something. That means that we cling on to something that's false. That means that in the face of evidence, we still deny the truth. Now, I can present facts to you right now. Facts. I can present facts to you right now based upon the American psychological, based upon every psychotherapist, and based upon every science that's out there on the planet. I can present facts to you, let's say something simple, about how we know the harmful effects of processed sugar on the human body. I can present those facts to you. And a delusional person will, again, have an irrational conviction, and they will cling vehemently to the belief that processed sugar, that all of the facts and all of the evidence, that the biochemical relationship, that the biological, electrical, chemical evidence, how massive that it may be, is irrelevant. And they are able to, now I'm not talking about just, you know, saying, no, I'm talking about staring you in the face with tears rolling down their cheeks, and they vehemently are opposed to the evidence. Now, self-delusion is a kind of cognitive dissonance. And once you understand that, if you don't understand the psychology of the self, you are going to suffer from a cognitive distortion. Now, what's sad is the Bible says that God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. That's the biblical definition of cognitive dissonance. That means that your cognitive distortion is going to result in a radical rewiring of your brain, and your self-image and your persona is going to suffer from what they call self-deception or self-delusion. Now, as a psycho and a spiritual therapist, it's my job to understand the symptoms of this psychosis. Now, you should be asking yourself, you know, hey, Doc, so if I am suffering from self-delusion and there is no way for me to know that I am suffering as a clinical psychologist, knowing your own darkness is the best method of dealing with the darkness of other people. So the thing that makes me a great psychologist, the thing that makes me a great spiritualist, is because I came from a very dark place, and I didn't have the luxury of going laying on a sofa and talking to somebody. I couldn't pay nobody. I couldn't afford to pay somebody $100 an hour. So what was the cost of my self-deception, my self-delusion? Okay, bad credit, Mr. Relationships. I mean, the list goes on and on. You guys have heard the story. And so why, again, should you be concerned about self-deception? You're not self-deluded. You're not suffering from any type of self-deception. You're not suffering from any type of defeatism. You're not doing any type of destructive behavior. You're not going out, you know, terrorizing and doing anything unethical or immoral. You ain't robbing banks in the middle of the night. You're not doing any of this self-delusional, self-deceptive, psychotic or psychopathic behavior. But maybe you are. Because, see, self-deception is interesting. Because the thing that I love, like, when we talk about, like, a sociopathic and a sociopath, it's interesting because those are the people that we worship. All of the 1%ers, they're all psychopaths and sociopaths. See, a sociopath is a mental disorder that manifests as extreme antisocial attributes and behavior. It's a lack of conscience. People that are sociopaths, they don't have a conscience. But see, most people don't understand the difference between a sociopath and a psychopath. They don't even know that they are one. So when I was a sociopath, and people, nobody knew I was a sociopath. They didn't understand the symptoms of anti-personality disorder. Now, I've been diagnosed with a lot of stuff. That's what started my journey. And so when we understand the depth of the deception, now you should be saying to yourself, Brother Will, what deception? Okay, people who are what I call living in the real world, they have confidence in their own abilities. They have self-acceptance. They don't worry about what other people think, and they are eternal optimists. Now, those four attributes mean that you're living, you got your head in the clouds, but your feet are firmly planted on the ground. Let's look at the four. Now, confidence in my own abilities. I don't have that. Now, I got it now, but I just got it like a couple of months ago. Now, all the years I've been on the planet, now you should be asking yourself, now, Brother Will, hold up, time out. So you need to tell me, now, I just 30 days ago, if that long, made it okay for me to be happy. 30 days ago, if that long. Do you understand at almost 60 years old that I've been living my entire life and it was a sin? It was against my belief system, as I talked about on yesterday's show. What is the definition and the foundation of your motivation? And yesterday evening, I talked about, is it okay for you to be happy? 90% of you listening to this call right now, it is not okay for you to be happy. That is why you are not happy. See, the reason that you're not happy, because being happy goes against your belief system. Because as a Christian, I was taught that Jesus suffered on the cross and that the servant is not greater than the master. So since Jesus suffered, I'm supposed to suffer. Now, go to any church in America on any Sunday, and I guarantee you, you're going to hear that today. Not last week, today. Now, let me make sure you understand, my brothers and sisters, because most people, again, people's definition of happiness is different. So my definition of happy means wealthy, healthy, wise, and in a healthy environment that is conducive to my health. Now, most people's definition of happiness may be a Big Mac with cheese on it. Now, my definition of happiness, I have a tall order. See, I just don't accept anything because I came from a very dark place. See, when you've been raised in a cult, if you was homeless since you was 13, if you watch your mother being murdered or die, being beaten to death when you was 8, 9, 10 years old, you would have some serious confidence issues too. You would not accept yourself. Number one, confidence in your own abilities. I didn't have that. That's why I was selling my stuff for cheap. That's why when I had my coffee shop and bookstore, I was doing coffee. It cost me $5 to make the cup of coffee. I was selling it for $2. When I had my Vision Impact Photography, I had my own. I was the only one in the entire state that was selling 8x10s for less than $20. Why? I had the best quality. I had my own dark room. Everybody knew Vision Impact Photography because I provided VIP service. People from Claremont all around the state came to my photography studio. I was booked solid for a whole year doing weddings. I had a wedding booked every Saturday and Sunday. Because of my reputation. And I was doing weddings when everybody else was just, they wouldn't even talk to you unless you were talking at least $800. I was doing weddings for $200 and $300 with the portfolio included. Why? I had no self-worth. I had no confidence in my abilities. I had no self-acceptance. I was always worried about how other people saw me. That's why I worked out 3 times a day. That's why I did these extreme diets. That's why I did everything that I did because I was worried about my self-image. I was worried about how other people thought about me. I spent my whole life with a lack of confidence. I lived my whole life. I wanted to look like somebody else. I wanted to be somebody else. I didn't want to be me. I wanted to be a white. I wanted to be white because if it was white, it was right. So I didn't tell nobody this, but again, all my friends was white. I married somebody who's white. I lived in a white neighborhood. I was ashamed to be a black man because I always worried about what other people thought. I was a pessimistic. The glass was always half empty. The glass was never half full. I was suffering from self-delusion. I was a delusion. The reason that I was delusional. See, people can tell me what. But do you know why? Now, see, brothers and sisters, a sociopath doesn't have a conscience. See, as a sociopath, I lied. See, I lived in a place and in the world where if I stole money from you, I felt that it was morally okay because you had extra and I didn't have enough, so it was okay. So as a kid, I stole for a living because I didn't have a place to stay. I didn't have no food. So I would walk into the store. I would fill up the grocery basket full of groceries, and I would push it out the door at 13. And how did I feel? I felt good. I didn't feel nothing because I felt, again, I rationalized and I justified my behavior. Who don't have a psychological sense, they have a poor inner self-measuring system of right and wrong. They can't. Now, how do I know this? As you guys know, I worked in a supermax prison where everybody had three life sentences. Nobody was getting off. They was going to die in prison. Guess what they all had? The same problem that I had. Why y'all think I did so good in the prison? The inmates loved me. When I came to work, the inmates were happy. Now, I was the hardest guard there. I treated the inmates. I was firm, I was fair, and I was consistent. The inmates know that nobody was raping nobody when I was there. They knew nobody was getting out. Nobody was going to the rec room or the library early. Nobody was going late. They knew if I saw you doing something, I was writing you up. They knew my uniform was going to be ironed and sharp. They knew my shoes was going to be polished, and they knew I was going to be wide awake. I wasn't going to be up there sleeping because I took my job serious. And so because I respected them, they respected me. I told you guys the story. I was sitting in church one Sunday, and I felt this guy, this eye on the back of my neck, and I looked back, and this dude kept staring at me. And he kept staring at me through the whole service. I'm sitting there. This was, again, years ago. I walk up, and he said, "Hey, you remember me?" I said, "No, man, I don't know. Who are you? I know you've been staring at me for the whole church service." I said, "You really don't remember me?" He said, "No." I said, "I'm inmate number blah, blah, blah." I was in Santa Fe, New Mexico Correctional Prison. "You remember me now?" I say, "Oh, yeah, I remember you." And we proceeded to go out to lunch, and he proceeded to tell me why he respected me. Because I respected his humanity. Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. Your self-worth, you have to have a system in place to develop it. Nobody gives it to you. See, managing the central components of having what I call, again, a life-sustaining pattern, because patterns are power. So your life is cyclical. You do the same thing over and over again. I just understood my pattern. Like I told you guys before, normally this time of the year is when I fall off the wagon. Now this is time of the year I don't fall off the wagon. Why? I figured out my pattern. How did I figure out my pattern? I analyzed myself. I watched myself, and I stopped watching TV. I stopped watching other people, and I started spending time, and I started asking myself some serious questions. Why do I lack confidence? Okay, I'm in my right mind. I have the activities of my limbs. You know what I'm saying? I have the ability. I have a brain, and it works. You know what? I have the ability to go out and earn money. Why do I lack self-esteem? Why don't I accept myself? What is it about me that I'm rejecting? Why am I always looking for validation outside of myself? Why don't I validate myself? Why don't I look myself in the mirror and say, "Hey, Brother Will, you know, you're all right, dude. You ain't the sharpest tool in the shed, nor are you the brightest bulb in the pack. But guess what, homie? You're okay." Why was I always pessimist? Why was the world always coming to an end? I had to stop hanging around negative people. I had to stop going to those negative churches. I had to stop hanging out with people that was crying that the world was coming to an end, because it was shutting down my system. So I had to develop a way to monitor and to control my behavior, because everybody was trying to give me medication or drugs or alcohol or some other way outside of myself. I had to bring my own emotions, my own thoughts. I had to alter my environment. I had to develop ways to change my environment, even if I couldn't. Now, I need to make sure that you understand how you must develop your own system, because you have to have the ability to respond to the ongoing demands on your emotional bank account. Right now, you may be emotionally bankrupt. So if I need to make an emotional withdrawal, if you need to make an emotional withdrawal out of your emotional bank account, ain't no emotional duckies in there. There are no emotions there, because your social tolerability is gone. You can't tolerate people, because every time you go out in public, somebody pisses you off and you go off. So you need to have some emotional tolerance in the bank. So when somebody accidentally bump into you at the supermarket or cut you off while you're driving in traffic, you got some money. You can go into the bank, make a withdrawal. You can take out some calm, and you can say, "Hey, I'm going to be calm. I'm going to be cool. I'm going to be collected, because I have the emotions inside of me. So I am sufficiently flexible, and I'm not going to react with this spontaneous reaction that allows me to go off. because of the fact that I'm on edge. Most of what I talk to, man, they are on a, they just one incident away from going off on you or somebody else. Don't believe me, go to a fast food restaurant. Walk up to a clerk and watch how they can I help you. Like, man, dude, is you because they don't want to be there. They had a job that they don't like. They ain't getting paid nothing, and they're putting up with people who are disrespecting them. And so it is our job, it is your job to understand yourself. So your self-concept, let me ask you the question. What is your self-concept right now? What is your self-concept? Do you have one? Do you have a concept of yourself? Now, we have to go through a couple of things real quick before we bring today's message to a close, because this is very important for you. See, you got to understand that you are a biological person. Now, I am doing my series right now at 7 p.m. If you're not on the series that breaks down the biology of your temple, man, you need to be on that series. So why should you be on that series? I'm explaining what I did to keep from taking. Now, again, I've been clinically diagnosed. I was told that I would be dead, that they told me that. And the psychologist said, I don't understand, because your brain, now if you hook up my brain fires like someone who is having a seizure right now as I'm speaking to you. According to the therapist, they showed me the brain scan. I remember I have two children that had severe epilepsy, and my brain pattern is identical to theirs, but my body doesn't react. My muscles doesn't go into convulsions. So again, they wanted to keep me to break this down because of the understanding of what? The psychology of the self. So if you don't understand that, brothers and sisters, then you don't have the ability to operate in the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. So the last fruit of the Spirit is self-control. That's the psychology of the self. So let's talk about self-control. What is it? Now, people who don't have self-control go to prison. Because if the rules of society says you can't go take the nunu anytime you want. So you see a female, you like her, you say, I want you. The female tells you, I don't want you. And you go over there, you throw her on the ground, you take her clothes off, that's called rape. Now, in our society, now some cultures maybe you can do that, but here, at least in America, you can't do that. So if you don't have the ability to control your sexual urges, when you see somebody else and you go and take, that's called rape. Now, you can go, now, I worked in loss prevention. I was a police officer. I've done it. So people would walk into the store, they would take something. Now, in this culture, if you don't have self-control and you go into a store and you don't have the money to purchase the item and you can't exercise self-control and don't take it because you got the money, you go to jail. They got people like me, they'll come and arrest you. Now, I used to do code compliance, and code compliance says if you don't have enough self-control to fix your fence, to not paint your hair, to not paint your house pink, without going to the Architecture Control Committee and first get approval from your neighborhood community, and if you can't exercise self-control, then they have, again, code compliance officers who come around, they write you a citation. So what is self-control? See, self-control separates us from the animals. See, we have this thing called a frontal lobe. We have this thing called a neocortex. This gives us the ability, again, to release impulses in our brains that allows us to respond and to plan and to take action and to do things and to exert, again, this thing called willpower. Or dilemma. Now, in the brain, it's called the circle. Again, I've talked about this on many, many shows, the biology aspect of it. It's called the circle of Willis, W-I-L-L-I-S, or the circle of will. Now, that is the place where discipline, willpower, and again, self-control meet. Now, based upon the biology, it is the biology of will. So willpower, again, takes glucose, which the brain uses as fuel, and it gives you the ability to make decisions, and you exercise will, power, or control. So it allows you not to do certain things. So self-control, again, is a inhibiting control. It is the ability to control one's own emotions and your own behavior. Now, some people have more self-control than others. So when we're talking about self-control, again, it is simply the ability to believe that you'll have the ability to restrain yourself in the event that you are tempted. Now, many people have more self-control than others. That's cool. That's okay. Because self-control can be developed. You can learn self-control. There are secrets. Because self-control is a, see, I didn't have self-control. Now, that's the thing that almost left me in prison. Because the things that the inmates were doing in prison that I was watching over were things that I had done. The only difference between me and them, they got caught, I didn't. So self-control starts with one. Number one, prayer. Now, prayer, meditation, sitting in silence, whatever you want to call it, prayer trains the brain to stop and slow down. So if you never pray, you never stop. You never slow your brain down. You never put your brain in a place where it can exercise time out. Now, this, again, leads to your ability to understand yourself. So what do? I pray. What's the second thing I do? I eat right. Now, I don't eat right all the time, but my brain, I know that my brain runs off of a certain type of a fuel. So I want to put, you can buy premium unleaded. You can buy regular unleaded. You can buy the basic. So I want to give my brain premium fuel. So I know my brain burns a particular type of fuel. And I know my brain oscillates or vibrates on a higher level when it's in an alkaline state. So I keep my brain in a, I eat a particular thing. And guess what? I maintain a particular amount of oil. So the oils, if you run your car without oil, what happens? You burn up the engine. Guess what happens to your brain? If your brain is not alkaline, if the body is not, if your body is acidic, and if you're not drinking distilled water, if you don't pray, if you don't keep your, if you're not hydrated, if you don't eat right, what's number three or number four? Exercise. What if you, do you know that when the body exercises just 10 minutes a day, you are releasing endorphins and those neurotransmitters that makes the brain, it's the feel-good chemicals? What's number five? Sleep. You need rest. Now, I don't get as much as I should, but I get enough sleep. You need to get sleep. What's number six? Now, this helps you to understand you. Number six is, again, you have to understand that it's okay to forgive yourself. If you make a mistake, it is not the end of the world. I know you think it's the end of the world. If something happens, now, you guys told a story yesterday, when I came home, busted in my house. Water's all over the kitchen. There's water spewing out of the foundation of the house. Water all over the backyard. Crazy. Hike. Busted. So I got to exercise a sense of self-control. I can't go crazy. I can't go angry. I can't get upset because the water pipe busted. Things happen. And if I make a mistake in life, I forgive myself because mistakes happen. So it's okay. You got to be okay with forgiving yourself. You have to forgive yourself, man. You can't be walking around all wound up, all tight. If you make a mistake, it's not the end of the world. It is not the end of the world, brothers and sisters. So, again, let's go to those seven things that I do to maintain self-control. Seven things to do to maintain self-control. Now, these, again, are no stretch of the imagination. You can write up any list. This is what I do. I pray. Now, how do I pray? I pray without ceasing. I'm praying right now. What does that mean? That means that I'm conscious and I'm aware that I'm in total communication with with my higher self. That means something outside of this dimension. See, brothers and sisters, when it comes to success and when it comes to self-control, it's so easy to focus on your failures and not to focus on your success. See, self-control is basically the ability to extend grace to yourself that helps
yourself to achieve your goal. See, failure to control yourself is just that. It's just the inability to exercise control. Now, when you fail, you get back on the horse and you try it again. Time, when you get back on a horse, meditate first. Pray first. Do some breathing techniques. Allow yourself to relax. Pray. After you pray, make sure that what you are eating is alkaline. Stop eating dead animals. Now, it's okay if you eat protein. I eat protein, too. I'm not saying you got to be all strict. Now, if you want to be strict, that's even better. Trust me. It's a whole lot better than doing what I do. I do the rotation diet. Hey, if you can just do it 24/7, nonstop, you know, totally take out protein, that's even better than what I do. You'll be on a higher level than me. But, again, you want to eat basically alkaline food, not acid food. Number three, you want to make sure that you drink water that is declustered. That means that the molecules in the water are separated so that way they can put in trash. Your water must be a trash bag. It must be dead water. It can't be full of minerals and enzymes. You must get your minerals and enzymes from your food, not your liquid. Now, I shouldn't be telling you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. If you're not drinking distilled water, the water that you're drinking already has something in it. That's why it can't. You can drink water all day. Nothing comes out. Don't believe me? Just try it once. Just drink a gallon of distilled water. Watch how fast you go to the restroom. Not just urinate. So you need to make sure that you are drinking God's water to remove the waste, which is the weight, out of the body. You got to make sure that you stay hydrated. Number four, you got to exercise. I don't care. If you got stairs at home, just walk up and down your stairs 5 times. Remember, if you exercise, if you just move your body at least for 10 minutes, if you're sitting in a chair, just raise and lower your legs for 10 minutes. One leg at a time, just move something. Go out your house, walk to the mailbox and back 5 times. Move. Because why? It releases endorphins in the body. It releases, again, opium and opiate. It opens up your opiate receptors. It's the runner's high. It's a drug. It releases drugs inside of the body so that you don't have to take no outside drug. You got the inside drug. Number four, you got to get some rest, man. You got to allow your body time to recuperate. Go to sleep. Get you some sleep. And sometimes it doesn't mean go to sleep. Sometimes it's okay. Like I told you guys, I don't really watch. But sometimes I will sit down and I will watch Love and Hip Hop or Empire. That's my detox time. It means my brain is shut off. I'm watching foolishness. Give yourself some rest. Because we live in a world that's nonstop. Your senses are being bombarded. You've been overloaded. So you got to rest. You got to rest. If you don't, again, you're going to override your system. So it's okay to take some time out and give yourself some rest. Because, again, when your brain cells is tired, your brain doesn't have the ability to absorb the minerals and enzymes that it needs. Your brain's ability to control its impulses, again, is based upon your food, based upon your prayer, your food, your drink, your exercise, and your rest. That, again, gives you number six. And number six, again, is the ability to control the ebb and flow of life. What does that mean? That means if you do these first five, number six, I'm going to put it, let's say number six would be like go with the flow. Now, when I say go with the flow, I'm not saying, you know, anything. Go with the flow means going with what you know. So when I go with the flow, self-control means if I feel something in my spirit, I'm going to go with it. Go with the flow. I'm not saying that that means you just do, if it feels good, do it. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just simply saying that you have to go with the flow. Somebody put in the chat room, keep the commandments, live by Proverbs 7:2. That's very, very true. Keeping the word of God, because again, in the beginning was the word. The word is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Has the ability to divide spirit, soul, joints, and marrow. So the word of God is a great tool. Now, I put that in with the prayer because when I pray God's words. I don't pray my words. I am totally silent when I pray. And if I say something, I tell God what he said. I just say, God, you said in your word that I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. That's what you said. You said that when I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I will fear no evil. You said no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You said you honor your own word above your own name. And so instead of coming up here and telling you your name, I'm going to tell you your word. Now, you said that heaven and earth will pass away before one jot and one tittle of your word will return to us. You said that the lilies of the field, they neither sow nor reap, and you take care of them. So how much more? So if you remind God of what he said, God keeps his word, brothers and sisters, the universe responds to itself. So if you oscillate and vibrate on the same frequency as the universe, you're doing good. That's what I mean by pray. So when I say go with the flow, that means go with what you know. Go with what you know, because what you know is your flow. So those seven keys, again, the last one is, if you fall off the horse, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. God forgives you. Forgive yourself. I see people beat themselves up. They make a mistake and say, Brother Will, you understand, man. You know what, brother, man, I did this. I can't believe I did this, boy. I hate myself, man. I should say the same crazy stuff, too. I know more. Seven things: pray, eat, drink, exercise, rest, go with the flow, forgive yourself. Those are seven things that I do to keep myself under self-control. But how do I know myself? So how do you know yourself, brother? Now, how do you, like, for real, like, how do you know yourself? What is the self? What's the parts that make up the self? The psychology of the self, brothers and sisters, means that I am cognitively aware. Now, maybe we need to break down the word cognitive. Now, the word cognitive is the mental. It means the mental process that you use to understand and acquire knowledge. So cognitive simply means brains. It means to use your brain. So how do you use your brain to understand your spirit, your soul, and your body? So how do you know you is what I'm saying. So see, I know me. What does that mean? That means that I know that I am not going to put myself in a place where there's chaos, meaning I cannot say, put an ad in the paper and say that I want to take in 10 roommates to help me pay my rent. Now, I could take in 10 roommates. They will come in, but I know it's not going to be peaceful. And then when they start playing loud music or they bring their girlfriend over and I walk downstairs and they, you know, making out on the sofa, I know me. I'm going to go off. If I walk in and there's food on the floor, there's ants in the carpet, I like stuff clean. I like my house tidy. I like my clothes put away. I'm a little anal retentive that way. So self, the psychology of the self means that you know what ticks you off and you know what doesn't. And more importantly, what motivates you. Remember the two shows that I did yesterday? Number one, what motivates you? Number two, allow to be happy. And if so, what makes you happy? What boils your blood? Not boils as in negatively, I mean boil as in positively. Can you tell me right now what boils your blood? What excites you? What makes you, what just, man, you just jump up in the morning, you like, pooh, man, you hit the floor running. What excites you, brother? See, you ain't you. You live in a dream that ain't yours. So you are the author and the finisher of your faith. So I highly recommend that you do this, that you become self-aware. What's self-awareness? Self-awareness is what we're talking about right now. That means that I am aware of my likes and dislikes. Brothers and sisters, like I told you, everything that makes me happy and motivates me, it was outside of my belief system. Christianity, the church, told me you got to be poor. Because God, Jesus, didn't even have a place to lay his head. So if you're rich, you can't be a Christian. Then they told me if you make a mistake, lie in it. If you make your bed, lie in it. So they said, hey, if you hook up with the wrong woman and you get married, tough kimchi. Once you get married, that's it, brother. You stuck, like, because that was my belief system. Now, to be happy, I wanted to leave. I was in my first marriage 25 freaking years. 25, brother. 25, sister. And I was unhappy probably 24 of those years. Why did I stay? Because I had kids and I have a belief system. Come on, man. Are you serious? 25 years of being unhappy? She was unhappy, too. We both was young, dumb, and stupid. We stayed because we had a belief system. I call belief system bullshit system. Pardon my French. So are you self-aware, brother? Are you self-aware, sister? Or are you still playing church? Are you still walking around with your head up in the clouds and you're not aware? Awareness is consciousness. It's the ability to perceive. Now, it's introspectiveness. It's the ability to go in and inspect. Now, introspective means that I'm going to examine my own thoughts and my own feelings. I'm not going to leave it to nobody else. I'm going to examine my own mental state. I ain't going to go to no Reverend Dr. Bishop. I ain't going to go talk to no psychologist. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to say, okay, I think my neighbor should be punched in the face. Why? I don't know. I just don't like him. Why do I like him? Well, you know, he's Hispanic. I'm black. I want black neighbors. Now, does that make common sense? No, I'm just going to hate a man because of his color, of his skin. Now, some cultures, they do that. My mama didn't raise me that way. So if I'm self-aware, I'm going to take that feeling, I'm going to get rid of it. I don't care how much I feel like it. I'm going to go over there and introduce myself to my neighbor. I don't care what I feel. I'm going to override my feeling because I got cognitive understanding that that doesn't line up with my belief system. That's self-awareness. Next thing is you got to have self-esteem. This one is huge. This one is like this is the smoking gun. Self-esteem, what I call Christ esteem. Now, I'm not talking about the flesh self. I hope I don't have to say that. I hope y'all know I ain't talking about the flesh. I'm talking about the spiritual self. So self-esteem is the self-concept that I talked about earlier. So self-esteem means my overall emotional evaluation of myself. So self-esteem means I'm going to look at my belief system about myself that says one thing. This is self-esteem. Am I worthy? Brothers and sisters, for 50 years on this freaking planet, I was not worthy in my own head. Now, everybody else said, dude, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, Brother Will. But in my head, I wasn't worthy. Where did I get that shizness from? Well, when I was childhood, because my parents and my environment says, Negro, you ain't worth shizness. So that's what I believed. So my self-image, the psychology of myself was flawed because I was raised in an environment that says, you ain't worthy. You ain't worthy. And then I went to church and they said, you a sinner, Negro. Go down there to the mourner's bench and pray that God, because God hates you. And I'm like, really? So when I was a kid, they said, yeah, God hates the sinner. And you are a sinner. So that means God hates you. At least in my brain, that's what it meant. So I was not worthy. So self-esteem means, are you worthy? Now, I'm going to ask you the question right now. Are you worthy? In your head, be honest, man. You probably not. You're probably not worthy. You don't feel, but let me tell you, you are. You are triumphantly. You should not be ashamed. You should carry yourself like royalty because you are royalty. That's self-esteem. So we talked about self-awareness. We talked about self-esteem. What about your self-concept? Now, your self-concept is your self-construction. It's your self-conceived, con-swindled, seed or seed. So the self-concept is the ability, again, to actually collect. Now, this is important. Your self-concept is the ability to collect things that say who I am. Now, remember, self-esteem, what am I worth? Am I worthy? Self-awareness is who am I being? Self-awareness, who am I being? Am I worthy? Now, with the self-concept, who am I? So let me ask you, brother, who are you? Let me tell you who I am. I'm a royal priest. I'm a holy nation. I am the son of God. I'm the offspring of God. I am a royal priest. I'm made in the image and likeness of God. I am justified. I am sanctified. I am set aside. I am a master teacher, 33. I am a compassionate creator. These are all I am statements. It's not what I'm going to be. It's not what I am becoming. It's who I am right now. Who I am is my attitude and disposition. Your self-concept is your attitude. It's your disposition. Your attitude, again, is the thing that you distinguish about yourself that separates you from everybody else. Carry myself with an attitude that says, I am the child of God. People get pissed off. I carry myself that says that I am a royal priest. People get pissed off. I carry myself with the attitude that says I am master teacher. I'm not just a teacher. I'm a master teacher. That means I may not be better than you, but I'm just as good as you. And I am a didactic teacher. And then I have a specific disposition. What is a disposition? The disposition is a state of readiness. It's my mental state of readiness. That means that I'm on guard 24/7, 365. What is my disposition? My disposition is Christ consciousness. That means I am aware of my messianic office that gives me the power to fulfill that office. What does that mean? That means that I know I have a calling on my life. I know there's no demon in hell that can come up against me, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in. So my mindset, brother, I have a belief in my brain. I have a mental picture in my head of me standing with the full arm of God. And so it's like these darts are coming, and they're hitting my chest, and they're bouncing off, ting, 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 like bullets. They're just bouncing off. That's the disposition. What do you got in your head? What is your state of readiness? Do you have one? What is your self-concept? So the concept of myself is royalty. I am a royal priest. So the attitude is that I am in my office, and as long as I'm in my office, I have the power to tread upon snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means harm me. That is how I evaluate myself. That's my self-knowledge. That's my self-concept. That's my self-construction. That's what I've constructed for myself. What have you constructed for yourself, brother? What have you constructed for yourself, sister? So we talked about self-awareness. We talked about self-esteem. We talked about self-concept, conception, and your self-concept. What about your self-knowledge? This is all the psychology of the self, self-knowledge. Self-knowledge is, brothers and sisters, what do or what have I been given? What knowledge have I been given? What have I been given? I have been given by God. I didn't learn this. Self-knowledge, brothers and sisters, means that you've acquired something, a consciousness. What have I acquired? What can I see better than other people? I can see spiritual knowledge. Now, I can see, I got a few things. I can see deception, meaning I have discernment. I have, now these are all the gifts of the Spirit. I've been given the gift of teaching. So my self-knowledge is the ability to understand the knowledge that was given to me and placed inside of my DNA, which is I can take concept issues, I can take difficult or complex issues, and I can break down or simplify them. It's called didactic teaching, and I have discernment. I can spot a demon on Mars. I can discern people's intentions, and I have the ability to dissect complex issues and make them understandable. And I do this in a manner that is creative and compassionate. That's my knowledge. What's yours? What's your self-knowledge? What do you have nobody else got? And last, self-perception. So we got self-awareness. We got your self-esteem. We got your self-concept. We got your self-knowledge. And last, your self-perception. Your self-perception is like your social identification. Self-perception, brothers and sisters, is I have a way of perceiving things that's based upon my experiences and my environment. It's called behavioral genetics, biological cognitive. So what is my biological cognition? That's my self-perception. So what is your self-perception simply means that I interpret. So self-perception is how. It's the how. How I interpret. See, I see life in a particular lens. It's like if I put on shades that are amber, everything's yellow. I see life as being yellow. That's my self-perception. Put on some shades that are red, I perceive everything as being red. So my self-perception is how I see. So your perception brothers, your perception is how you see. How do you see? It's the state or the process of your senses or your perception. What is your self-seeing? How do you see yourself? That's your self-perception. Because how you see yourself is the same way that you see others. It's the ability to understand and notice something. How do you notice yourself? How do you notice others? Your self-perception is huge because you could perceive something, and guess what? Your perception is your reality. So how are your feelings about a particular product, service, or information? What don't you see? See, we see things as we are, not as they are. That's self-perception. Everything you see as yourself. See, people see what they want to see. And what people want to see never has anything to do actually seeing. So your self-perception is huge. Because if your perception is skewed, you see what you want to see. I can tell you all day, this is not what you should see, but you won't see it. Because your perception is your reality. And if you change your mind, you change your perception. So your perception is always growing, along with all of the other attributes of the self. So the psychology of the self, again, is the underlying understanding that you are evolving as a self. So your self-awareness is evolving. Your self-esteem, your self-concept, your self-knowledge, and your self-perception, all of these make up yourself, the psychology of the self. And brothers and sisters, the way that you exercise control of the self, prayer, eat right, drink alkalinity, exercise, get some rest, go with the flow of what you know, and forgive yourself when you don't know. Do those seven things. Focus on understanding your self-awareness, your self-esteem, your self-concept, your self-knowledge, and your self-perception, and you will under, over, and understand yourself. So when somebody comes along and tells you something about yourself that is not inside of your box of understanding that you have done because you put in the work to understand yourself. So when somebody comes along and tells me, Brother Will, you know what, man, you are an evil person. Your intention was to try to harm and defraud me. You said you were going to do my dear Keneal report in a week, and you intentionally did it in 3 weeks because you were trying to piss me off. If I didn't know myself, I would analyze, man, maybe I did do that, man. But I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean, let me give you a refund. Let me do it. No. I know that. I know me, man. I know I'm not going to intentionally tell somebody something that's a lie, try to deform, or I'm not going to intentionally go out and do this. I understand who I am. I've put in the work. I know who I am. I know how I think. I know what I do. I understand the secrets to self-control, which are those seven keys that I just gave you. Those keys are the keys to self-control. I have done, and I understand that I am totally aware of myself. I didn't have no self-esteem. Now I used to have low self-esteem. What is low self-esteem? I used to have no confidence. I wanted to look like and be like somebody else. I was always worried about what other people thought about me, and I was an eternal pessimist. Now I have high self-esteem. Now I'm confident in who I am and what I say, and I speak with authority. Now I have self-acceptance. I don't give a beep what nobody thinks about me. I freaking accept myself. I love myself. Now I don't worry about what other people think. Now I'm an optimist. The glass is always half full. It's never half empty. In my world, I wrote the script. Well, I'm the good guy. I ride off into the sunset with the money and the girl. See, I write the movie, homie. In this movie, I'm the star. So I don't suffer from no self-esteem problems anymore. I have self-knowledge. I understand my gift. I know my calling. I know my place.
I know my position. And I surely understand my self-concept and my self-perception. So the psychology of myself right now, in mercy of God, I'm not a narcissistic person. I don't have no grandiose delusion. I'm not suffering from no psychopathic envy. I'm not trying to transfer my sociopathic, self-absorbed, grandiose, narcissistic behavior onto anybody else. I am comfortable. I am confident. I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I understand that godliness plus contentment is great gain. It is my prayer, my brothers, prayer, my sisters, that you understand the biology of your temple and the biology of yourself, because that is the only thing that's going to allow you to become one in 2017. Brothers and sisters, God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the sun bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you. See everyone tonight at 7 p.m. God bless.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle and seize, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.